My name is Serene Kurka and I welcome you cordially to my podcast, Neumusik Leben. I have studied classical singing and music, and nowadays, and since many years, I have been singing lots of contemporary experimental music and also do performance. If you would like to know more about me, please look at my website www.irenekurka.de. And I also welcome you to subscribe to my monthly newsletter. In this podcast, I talk about themes all around contemporary music. I share with you the behind the scenes, the insider knowledge, and I'm happy to bring you the human beings out of this new music world closer. I'm cooperating with the NMZ Neue Musikzeitung. And today I have a special guest for you, the composer, artist, Johannes Kreidler. And I have had interviewed Johannes Kreidler before, a while ago, and it is a German episode. And it's actually one of the episodes that has almost the most downloads, or it's within the top five. And then I have asked Johannes if you would like to do another interview, this time in English. And he agreed, which I'm very happy about. And he also said, well, I have other things to tell, so really, let's talk. And so we both wish you a happy new year. And if you also would like to know how my year 2024 was since last year, I present once a month an English episode for you. And thank you so much for subscribing. And I have done an episode for you where I kind of look back at 2024 and I share with you my experiences, my learnings. So please listen to that. It's also my thank you to my English-speaking audience. And so now let's get to this interview with Johannes Kreidler.
Hello, Johannes. Johannes Kreidler. I welcome you into my podcast, Neue Musik Leben.
Hello, Irene. It's a pleasure and honor for me, of course.
And it's so great to talk to you because you have been into my podcast before, but it was a while ago. And many things have changed. And also it was in German. So anyone who can speak German can also listen to this episode. And I would like to know from you, how did you find your way into new and experimental music?
First of all, I like to read biographies of composers or of artists in all genres. But I usually skip actually the first chapters about family background. And so since I think this is not so crucial, not so important, or it's often overemphasized. So trying to rather be quick with that. So I'm coming not from an artist's family, a musician's family, but from a family which is interested in music. And but the great parents were still rather, or the grandparents were rather poor, so this was has happened a certain social progress, and the children should all learn an instrument. And when I started then to play piano, I was very excited and started to compose, actually, just like playing with Lego. So it was kind of rather childish and naive. But for me, very important, and that's really in these days even more important to say, is that radio played for me such a big role in my upbringing. That's because my parents were rather had a conservative music taste, but thanks to the radio stations, the public radio, I was then able to, and I did not have really have money to buy many CDs or so. So I learned most of music history from the radio, except what I could play myself at the piano. And then over the time, I also started to realize, oh, there are these night programs with this contemporary music. And I also felt like that the music of 19th or 18th century cannot be the music of our days and of what I can really identify myself with. Yeah, so then I step by step learned to know, also got to know music until the present. But I also, in my youth, was socialized, so to speak. I have two socializations in music. One is the classical one, and the other one is actually techno, which was, in a way, also a big musical revolution around 1990. And until the present, I'm a fan of electronic music and generally with technology. Technology leads to a new music. And so, following these kinds of routes that's brought me to new music, experimental music, then I started to study composition in Freiburg.
And now you're very known for concept music or the new conceptualism. And how did that find you? Or was it already there also in your early compositions? Or did you first write more, I would say, conventional, and then you made a skip? Or did it always draw you? What is the essence of the idea?
Retrospectively, one could draw a kind of destination, maybe. But on the other hand, yes, of course, I was first much more imitating models of what was my, so to speak, teachers from all music history. It takes quite a lot of time. I think every artist will agree with that. It takes a lot of time to become yourself, yeah, and to become original and to also overcome yourself in a way. Maybe it's not only that you become who you are, but maybe also become who you were not before, yeah. So it is takes years, and I was when I, at the age of 30, I did have much more ideas than at the age of 20, I would say. So it was a long path. But on the other hand, then I see retrospectively that there was already in quite early days were these kinds of small glimpses or small, not really formulated ideas, but thoughts about a certain semantics that is incorporated in music, that music is not a separate, totally separate realm from language, so to speak, from concepts. And then comes into play aspects like digitalization, that nowadays we have hashtags, we have archives, or meanwhile AI systems which work with prompts, yeah, that you write a text, and this with this prompt then you're generating images and music or whatever. So we are working with text, and our, so to speak, really basic knowledge and skill is that we all learn a language, our native tongue, and so on and so forth. And yeah, so I came more and more to these ideas that listening is also a conceptual listening, and thinking about music and inventing music is something which is a lot determined by language and can be shaped by language. And the listening can be composed, so to speak, itself by creating a conceptual framework. And that's answering the core of your question is concept music is a work of music which is determined by a conceptual idea. Famous examples would be this Pendulum music by Steve Reich. Yeah? We have Just Let It Go by Gravity. The pendulums then create the patterns without any more human, so to speak, interaction with it. Or John Cage's 4 minutes and 33 seconds, yeah, where there's this absence and many ways to interpret this, whether this is the idea of nothingness, or is it the idea of the surrounding noises of the concert hall, or is it a kind of Buddhistic nihilism, or is it a reaction to the atomic bomb, or so this leading out a lot and concentrating on, so to speak, one concept is then again a door and a gate to a lot of possible interpretations of music. And all of this I find found more and more interesting, and it found me maybe in a way that certainly in my biography the digitalization plays a big role, since I because I experienced it as a revolution. As a kid, yeah, I listened to radio and recorded it on tape. Yeah. So for me, it was really such a positive revolution that's to gaining more access to, yeah, the possibility then to find it, how easy then is to access the music compared to the 1980s or 1990s. Yeah. So for me, that was and still is kind of, it seems to be naive, but it still makes me happy to experience again what is now possible with technology, for example, for the work of a composer.
And is there any time you could say, okay, this is when I really used this word as a conceptual composer? This is when I was this conceptual composer. And also, was it hard to get there? I mean, did you have like role models, or did you feel alone for a while and you were like the weird other?
I try not to have models, and in a way, yeah. Also, already when starting to become professional composer, I had somehow this idea: I don't only want to try to make good music, but also kind of find another definition of music. And I think and that you could give this as, so to speak, the anti-definition of new music is to always redefine what music, what art at all can be, also what interpretation can be. And somehow I had this pretty early, somehow already somewhere, some cells in my brain were already going to that direction. And so therefore, yeah, and the more I came to then conceptual music, yes, certainly I also try to establish this as in a way, because this it did not exist actually, although hard to believe nowadays, but this term conceptual music, of course, concept art and so on, conceptual art exists since decades. But in music, conceptual music works did exist. You could even count works of Satie or the Bolero of Ravel to it. But the term and the notion as really a very unique and specific practice of new music, this term was not coined until, say, around 2010. And since I also like discourse and I like to write texts, for examples, well, then I engaged into and I was asked to speak about these things. And so for example, formulated my own sentences on musical concept art and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I mentioned that before in other podcasts. I often watch people, and some people I call it that they are very good to play the game how it is, and some people are more the people, and I think I'm also one of them, and this is why I always admire people who do that, who are like watching the game and like, what else can I do? But that's sometimes the harder way, because you have to establish something new, like you did. And I mean, now it's like a very established term in contemporary music. And now there are, I mean, you're a professor in Basel, and there are other professors who teach something similar like you. So now it's quite established, and it's amazing. And but you're such a curious person who keeps going. I mean, it's not like, I mean, when I now look at your outcome, it's not just music. I mean, you're doing arts and those things I can look at, and you write, and there is so much. And but how does it feel now that this term is really kind of normal in our world?
Yeah, you could call this, so to speak, a success, but personally for me, it's exactly as you say that when it's established to that degree, that also students now follow this, which is nice, and of course they can give a continuation to it. Yeah, but then I come back to my, in a way, original approach. Hey, but wasn't I the weird one or so? And wasn't it my desire to, yeah, to continue and develop myself again and again? And the world changed again. And so it happened that, yeah, in the past, say, 5 years, around 5 years, yeah, unfortunately, not very beautiful things happened, like the pandemic, like Yeah, the spread of right-wing populism all over the world, and especially yeah, America and Europe, happened and does happen still. Ukraine war and or climate change, Gaza war. So things which make me, for example, consider I 10 years ago I've made things like in music theater to destroy 100 violins or so. I would not do this anymore. I find it was valid to do in 2014, but meanwhile there's so many destruction in the world that I would not do that anymore. And maybe personally also, yeah, it's a bit of maybe midlife, not crisis, but break in a way. But to me also the lockdown situation, I became 40 and yeah, for a moment I thought, okay, the first 40 years, the first half, maybe was not that bad, but the second half, who knows, at the moment seems not to be so promising looking into the world. Although I was kind of lucky that I was on the safe side becoming a professor in Switzerland in 2019. But I felt the need to somehow reinvent to a certain degree myself and started to look more into the field of visual arts. I've made many things before, but what I never did was installations, say sound installations, or at all this format of more a yeah, exhibition format where the audience is free to move around and to create your very own experience, and it's not always kind of imprisoned on your chair and here is the concert and hopefully you'll get entertained here. Yeah, there were many aspects which maybe also sustainability in a way you could also mention to yeah, seems sometimes a bit unsatisfying to you have a piece and it's played well at least once in a premiere, sometimes only once, at least for quite a long while, or even if it's played 10 times or so. But objects may remain longer. So I also yeah, started to construct new instruments and make visual work sculptures and images with sound waves. Yeah, this happened during the past around 4 years and still developing this further and following now this path.
Maybe it's hard to differentiate if it's like whatever you would have longed for anyway because of whatever your age, your experience, and what had to do with the pandemic, with this particular situation. And because, I mean, now that you mentioned that you have more like visual arts, I also found it interesting. Well, I kept podcasting a lot, but I also published, and you're also in one of my books, I published three books in the pandemic, and it was the perfect thing to do because, I mean, for this product, I did not need to go somewhere and sing or so. We could do it all like online, and I have those great books now. And so I find it very fascinating that maybe different doors or genres open up.
Yeah, as you say, it's not certainly not such just a personal thing, but I see so many people, almost none of us was not affected by this situation. We learned to do remote lesson and so on and so forth, remote concerts. We learned to, well, as an artist, well, yeah, to react on this situation with our ability, of with our skills, with our creativity and things to reconsider things. Yeah. Podcasts, certainly. I also started to listen to much more podcasts during lockdowns and so on. So yes, there's this. If it was only, I would not say that I'm trying to express myself or so. And I would also say, yeah, biographies usually, in a way, I can be happy that my biography is not that interesting. Glad not to be born in a country where there is war or anything. Yeah. So, I'm always much more interested in the broader society, and in, yeah, in the processes of society. And we all go through the whole world. Went during the pandemic through these processes, and I observed this. Yeah, so many artists have reconsidered their work and cannot just continue as they did before.
Yeah, it's, for me, I'm thankful that certain things I could add. And I talked to you before, and I told you that it was also very interesting that my voice students, they all switched to online teaching during the pandemic, and all of them stayed with it. And now I even have students in the United States and in Canada, which I find very fascinating. And I mean, those things you cannot really dream or plan suddenly. This is the situation. And it's also cool that you got this professorship in 2019. So what changed for you through this work? I mean, you have been teaching before a lot, I know that, but now I think you can even teach more what you're really after. And how did that change, and what kind of students come to you?
It is a big luck, this professorship for me, or it feels like it's not that I just received it as a present, but it is really making me very happy to teach now these things which I am anyway are obsessed with. Yeah, and of course students come to me who are somehow interested in the topics I'm interested in, like in also political dimensions of music, in conceptual or multimedia approaches to music, certainly. Although I'm trying to be a universalist as a professor, yeah, and so not so much thinking about my work, but it's about the art, the work of the students, and to really treat them as very individuals, and I want them to become really their individuals and find their own voice. So therefore, but it's great for me to be in contact with all the young generations, since I do not have an own family, and that's great. Certainly, I also observe that although having always written lots of texts and so on, it is even more a also a yeah theoreticalization and conceptualization of everything, since yeah every week together with the students that we speak of course about their work, so this also creates this positively spoken, always a great intellectual zone of yeah and discourse, and yeah very intense, yeah, but it also creates a certain distance where I also find then for my own work to again also separate this in a way from it to yeah, so I'm trying a bit to separate this and finding then a bypass, so to speak, for my own path. Yeah, that's a bit hard to describe, but yeah, I've in the first 2 years of starting to teach, I was a bit lacking an own inspiration. It felt like that I'm putting much more inspiration into teaching and giving as much as possible to students, and somehow this was as a backside, or it was reducing my options and my ideas for their own work. But I have to find a new balance for this, actually, yeah, but it's generally I love it.
Yeah, sounds interesting to find the balance. And I mean, Basel is such a great place. I think it's an amazing university, what you offer there, and what is possible for contemporary music. And I'm also so excited, and I wrote you already about it, when I see your you often post what you're gonna discuss in class on Facebook. And I think your topics are so interesting. I'm like, sitting there and just listening.
Thanks. Yeah, it's all the things I just want to speak about. Often also things which I as a student did not have the chance to talk about. So yes, and I like a bit to share these things which usually just happen within the walls of academia. So and yeah, make a bit of advertisement, so to speak, also for the Basel place. And it also and helps for me also to shape thoughts, to have a clearer structure. Yeah, also a thing. Yeah, we know it's this kind of, so to speak, pressure of the public helps you to really to focus on things, to find really to a good formulation. So yeah, so therefore I use the public in a way, yeah, to and therefore the public of social media also to develop ideas.
And you're obviously very good at that, even though in this last podcast you also told me that like the real good ideas, you don't even have that many each year. You told me about that.
Bit of a joke, just and I said, yeah, on average I have say 4 ideas a year. Of course it cannot be quantified so easily, but yeah, it's true that it's for me not so much. Others always complain, oh, I do not have too much time, I do not have time. And so it's not so much the time factor, but much more just the amount of, yeah, of thought power I have, so to speak, to put into my art. So yeah, it's not easy to develop good ideas, and takes a lot of pre-work until then you have a crown that then really come to a point. I found always interesting what Evan Lucio described in his work. I mean, a composer who is very minimalistic, you could say, very on the point. Yeah, but he says it's a long path to, and a long way to come to that point. He has to remove and remove and really dig into your material and to really to find the innermost core you could achieve, and then really isolate this, and from them again try to create a work from that. Yeah, that's hard work, and even the hard work is that it's not really a practice with which you can easily find a routine. Yeah, we spoke in our last podcast 6 years ago about daily routine or so, and now we can consider it a bit and thought about this question again. It has become even more difficult. On the one hand, that's my work at least, is so separated into, on the one hand, really very handcraft things like painting, like constructing instruments, 3D painting, 3D printing, and these things. On the other hand, sitting at, yeah, so to speak, the sheet music paper, really write down notes, or thinking of a good concept, or digging. Well, it's this kind of digging in your own head. And how do you do that when you start in the morning with your work? Yeah, maybe remaining in bed, reading just books and get inspiration, or just do nothing for an hour or for 2 hours until you can't bear it anymore and your brain produces something. Yeah, but it's unfortunately really no recipe, and at least the recipe to follow each day. The other composers whose work is usually to write such just scores. Well, yeah, it seems to me much, much easier. They sit down every morning and start, well, at 5 or at 7 or at 9 or 10, take the pen and start writing notes. And I can't work that way. And it's in a way, in that sense, I'm a bohemian and living in the day and see what happens, so to speak. Although I certainly try to always work in a way.
Yeah, well, great that you brought it up because that would have also been a question. What is your routine to be so creative? And I also think, or when I look at music and art, that often the pieces where you said you bring out some essence, a core, I think it's much harder to than to write many notes, even though I'm not a composer, but that's just like my observation from the outside.
Yeah.
And I guess that's also creativity that you cannot control it when it really comes or doesn't come. And I also remember that you observe a lot of things, what's going on or what's going on in the internet, and then suddenly it hits you. So when ideas show up, do you write them down to just maybe have them for later?
Yes, I write down a lot or record them on my mobile phone or so. And another difficulty here is that for me, that's maybe a personal problem, that I often really have problems to evaluate my ideas. I mean, it's the same. That's why students come to my lessons. Yeah? They show me this or that, and I give a comment and try also saying, well, yeah, this is good. Maybe, well, this is, I'm not sure, or doesn't tell me anything. But for myself, it's sometimes extreme. And I think, well, yeah, this is really great and brilliant, and And people say, well, yeah. And other kind of byproducts, other ideas where I think, oh, yeah, I could also implement this. And there I say, hey, wow, what's that? And therefore, as a composer, you're usually very thrown back to yourself, and it's quite a solitary work at home. But for me, communication, discourse is very important. And yeah, friends who I can show ideas already in an early stage or so, and it's for me pretty helpful. And yeah, I mean, I do not want to use this. I'm not into experimentalism, so to speak, that I want to use the stage to experiment with things. So I'm not so much into improvisation, for example. I prefer, well, that's maybe the difference between a composer and improviser, if you can draw this difference. I'm trying to experiment at home, and but then at on stage in the public, I'm trying to show the good results, the best I can achieve. But how to find out what's good or not is really not easy for me. And therefore, yeah, you see, it's communication in the end, or not in the end, in the beginning, everywhere. It's always communication with yourself, with whatever your memory, and with other people.
Yeah, it's so nice that you take us so deeply into your process, because I think things you mentioned, a lot of people or a lot of creative people know. And I often think it helps to know that even a person who's gone so far, like Johannes Kreidler, also whatever, has his daily struggles, and you feel more normal or so. I also remember when I many biographies for by singers are very, I'm so great and I sing at the Metropolitan Opera, blah blah blah. That's cool, but that doesn't give you anything. And there are a few biographies, very few, they're honest about whatever they were struggling with, a vocal technique or whatever in their life. And those are the biographies that gave me something, or some of my colleagues, because you realize, oh, I'm not alone with this problem. I'm normal and I just keep going. They kept going and I keep going too. And so I find this very valuable to hear how this goes and their whatever good and bad days.
Yes, I would say it's making good art is always difficult, whether it's writing a score music, writing orchestra pieces, being a singer, and being whatever a conceptual artist, whatever. To really make good art, unfortunately or fortunately, is difficult. If it was too easy, then it probably would not be interesting. And that's also, I think, a difference when I was speaking a lot about AI. And so what you can produce a million times loses immediately attraction. Yeah, whereas really a singular hard effort seems to still convey much more of something interesting.
And since maybe some people have not heard the other podcast, I also would like to know from you who or what has played the greatest role in shaping you and what inspires you.
Again, usually artists, composers, whoever, they write their CV and write down with whom they studied, and so yeah. But I've studied with thousands of people, so to speak. Yeah, everything is influential, and so I always, yeah, I'm influenced every day by what I see on the internet or everywhere, or listening to podcasts like Irene Kulka's podcast. Of course, yeah. If I may say this, a bit of a harsh statement, but my experience is speaking with, say, ordinary people is interesting, very interesting people. For me, inspiring is to hear artists. That's 10 times more inspiring. And hearing good artists is 100 times more inspiring. But everything can be inspiring. And therefore, I wouldn't really, and I try to avoid direct models or so. Although I see in retrospective, certainly some works which have much more influenced me. I give one example, is actually the film Katzelmacher of Rainer Werner Fassbinder, a very early film of Rainer Werner Fassbinder, which triggered my use of the color white. I like white. If you call, I can call it a color, but if you look on, say, for example, lectures with PowerPoint presentations, it's always, almost always, with many white slides background, for example. And this comes directly from this film of Fassbinder, which is a very, so to speak, shot, very bright white. It's a black and white film, but with lots of lights. And I find this so, I mean, it's an ingenious film. I can always recommend it. And but what was for me here so influential was this possibility to not make it somehow interesting by making it somehow dark and somehow not really or kind of half shadow and twilight or so. No, it's super bright, super white in a way to be so precise and to really be focused. And that was, for example, great aesthetic influence. But still, I want to say again, it was all. Again, one of many influences.
I think many composers, musicians are so open to film and literature and anything, and I also like this in our music bubble that we are so universal.
Yeah, maybe if I can add, certainly it's sometimes also more inspiring, although of course I'll try to be aware of what's going on in your music at all and everywhere, everything. But from other art practices, yeah, it's sometimes you can get more of inspiration to what you can kind of say steal into your music practice, yeah, or to come to something new by transferring it from visual arts to music or so, or find somewhere something in between. Yeah, therefore it is sometimes for me more inspiring to go to say exhibition than to a concert.
And now, since you now produce those different genres, the visual arts and whatever the composition, is it that you have the feeling this is now next, or is it just what offerings come to you that you follow them, or can you kind of guide it? No, I really want to do an exhibition now and leave me alone with regular compositions.
I do not work so in such a long term, but I follow my ideas and but I try to keep to that. And well, what's next? I can only speak for myself, but at the moment that's where I come to new things and I feel this makes sense. And yeah, where I have actually ideas, and then in conversation with curators and so on with festivals. I see what gives a resonance or so, but also trying to really to stick to that and try to to offer this. Hey, here, that's a thing of from the visual arts I really appreciate at the moment too, that it's not everything is done by commission. Yeah, so now you have a commission for this, and now okay, I have to do that work and create it and then ready, but I do make works and then I can offer them at a certain point. I see maybe until it's finished and I say, hey, now I have this for an exhibit and could then put it into the public. Or at least at a certain point, I see some months ago, I started to create a thunder sheet machine, for example. I was sitting at a concert and I see the percussionist playing on a thunder sheet, and somehow I already had in mind I want to do something with motorized maybe instruments. And I was like, hey, what about motorized thunder sheets shaked by motors or so? Okay, and then quite a big learning curve for me started to learn about motors and create frames with 3D printing and so, and learning how different metals sound like and so. And made first sketches and showed this to a festival curator who anyway wanted to work with me. And I just showed him various ideas I'm working at the moment. And he said, hey, wow, this thunder sheet machine, what's that? And okay, and now we come more and more to this good kind of focus on this process too for this festival to create a really a big installation with the thunder sheet machine.
That's really great that you also, I mean, I've known you also for quite a while, that you got to this point where you can really live your creativity in such a nice way and just do it, and people are interested and curious, and it also give you then the opportunity to realize it. Is that also something you could call success, or what is success for you?
Yes, you're very right. It's for me this having this artistic freedom to really can follow your ideas and have a certain possibilities to realize them and put it into the public. Yeah, you can call this success. On the other hand, I'm trying not to really think about this so much. I mean, it's you then you come so much into a whatever ego scheme or so, and trying to get actually really, really rid of that of whatever counting likes or seeing how much applause this gets or so. You never know what remains, so to speak, in when you're dead or whatever, and if there will be at all a future which is interested in the past, which is now the present. So really trying not, I'm trying to make good artwork for what I and somehow my surrounding feels like it is a good work, and we'll see what happens. But here, I'm really trying not to think very much about success. Of course, I'm in a comfortable situation to have financial security with a professorship, but I always try to have that. I always was always teaching at least a bit to be not completely dependent on having to live from composer com only from composing. You could then call this even, yeah, say a prostitution when you have to fulfill, do everything and need always need a commission to pay my rent or so. Always try to avoid that, to have this freedom to develop your stuff and to have this freedom.
And I think the other important point is always, you already mentioned that, to be true to myself, whatever I do or however I live my creative life. And I also would like to know, when the students come to you, is that something they ask for? I mean, do they just ask for the content, let's say, or do they also know, because you have gone a certain way, that they know that you can also maybe help them to really be themselves and do whatever is the greatest for them, whatever anybody else thinks about it?
Yeah, it's not always so exactly spoken out. It's rather kind of my job to really to sometimes already force them to. It is a natural process that as a young student you more or less imitate idols or you follow at least certain idols. And yeah, as I said before, that at the age of 20 I did have much less ideas than at the age of 30. So that's this process of for the students to try out. I always tell students really try out, try out, try the string quartet, make a sound installation, make film, try all these different genres and see at which point it resonates especially with you, where you think, hey, I'm gonna do more of that. But you have to find out, yeah? And maybe also invent yourself to a certain degree. Well, it's hard philosophical question whether it's discovery or invention, what we are doing, to which degree do we have at all a free will or the power to shape our identity myself. Well, I'm not a big fan of the word identity, actually. I'm hoping there is this power that you can also reinvent yourself, at least reroute yourself into new directions. But yeah, for young students, I'm trying to be this companion who gives feedback, who criticizes, and that certainly wants them to become original and not just make copies of what already exists. That's for the music theory department to write fugues in the style of Bach or so. But that's not the goal of the composition class.
And is there anything that drives you forward? Do you have a vision, or is there anything you're already cooking up? What's really hot for you and you really want to do?
Of course, I have to make plans, say, for 2 or 3, 4 years, but maximum 4 years, I would say. So at the moment, certainly I'm a lot into installations, both with sound and with images and sculptures. And that's the work for the next years. But it's not that I have this lifetime opus magnum vision to then finally make my big opera. So I've already made one opera, and that will be my only opera. There's these composers, either there's composers who write 15 operas or one opera. I am the composer of one opera, and I've already made that. Yeah. So there's also things where I think, yeah, it's been done, and now I do the things I have not done yet. So it's rather, so to speak, negatively spoken, that do the things I haven't before. But what drives me is ideas and trying to follow. It doesn't feel like that I can really choose the ideas I have. Yeah, and that's shaped by everything which happens around. But new technology certainly is inspiring. I think that was in throughout all art history again and music history again and again. New, say, techniques, not only technologies, but techniques. It can be also vocal techniques. Yeah. So all this I would count as technology is always inspiring. And so I always follow what's well, our new technological innovations. That is certainly something driving me. But again, it's something which drives the whole society. That's why it's interesting. If it was only rocket science, then I would not be interested in AI. I was not interested until ChatGPT came up, because then it's really a reality of the whole world, so to speak, at least the Western world. And then it becomes interesting for me.
I have a question to that. I mean, since you are away with artificial intelligence and so on, do you think that because you're working with it and you know a lot about it, that you're maybe less fearful than some people who have no clue what this thing can do?
I'm certainly not fearful about that. I find this totally exaggerated, this whatever fear that the machine will take over control and anything and so. But maybe I'm generally rather technologically optimistic, I would say. Again, since I experienced the digitalization as a revolution, bringing for me so much potential, so much options I did not have as a child and in my early teenage times. So yes, I'm observing and trying really to understand, which is not easy in the case of AI, but trying my best and observe. But it's so much, I mean, especially this is so much in flux at the moment, that every week seems to be there is now again a new gadget or so. So I'm not so much now every week trying the hottest shit or so. We'll see, but certainly this will change things quite a lot.
Hmm.
Let's talk
Yeah.
about it again in our next podcast in 6 years.
Yes. Certainly. I really enjoy talking to you as always, and but we are at the last
Pleasure, Irina.
question. And I would like to know from you, even though you already gave us so much precious stuff already. But my last question is, which tip would you like to give other young artists?
I said before, make experiments, try things out, try lots of things out. And a small anecdote, short anecdote. When I was a student, I was once had a stipend of the Akademie der Künste Berlin, and there the boss, she then told us, yeah, we have also electronic studios, so feel free to use it. And I thought, well, yeah, I have my laptop, and so yeah, I don't need that. And she said, but try it out. And I was yeah. But she said, but try it out. Honestly, I did not try out the electronic studio there, but what remained was this voice in my head, try it out. And whenever I am here or there and thinking, well, yeah, this could be an idea, then the voice comes, try it out. Yeah, so try things out. That's my tip to young people. Try things out, be keen, be bold, and get maybe rid of yourself even, or overcome your whatever family background or so, be inventive and create something new.
Well, thank you so much, dear Johannes. It was a pleasure.
Thank
And
you, Irene, for your questions, old and new questions, but the questions are so big.
yeah, well, thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to seeing you again.
Yes, of course. Until next time, Irene.
This was the interview from today. I hope that it inspired you. And please send me your emails, send me your feedback, because I love to interact with you. Thank you very much that you tuned in with me today. I really, really hope that you liked it. And please tell your friends and colleagues about this podcast. I thank you very much. I wish you all the best. Live your music, live your life, and see you next time. Yours, Irene.